mine looks like Elton John. Oh, Lord, help us. If you have your Bible, open to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. So last Sunday I told you that this was going to be my last Sunday, and so we're going to change that up for a minute. And after lots of praying and meeting and stuff, me and my wife are going to take a 3-month leave of absence, just for us to seek the Lord and for the church to seek the Lord. And you know, I think all anybody wants is what the Lord wants. Amen. So just to encourage you, if you're here, let me say a couple things and I'll get my message. Y'all don't mind, I'll just be blunt with you. You don't come to church for a preacher. And I never want to make the church about me and my wife or none of that junk. You don't come to church just to listen to preaching. You know, preaching is just part of it. It's part of it. You can listen to preaching on the radio or on TV and hear a lot better preaching. But I just go, we come together as a body because we're like-minded people who believe God's word, and we believe Jesus and God's spirit's in us, and we represent the Lord. I want you to hear that. We as a body, as a whole, represent Christ. And we come together to encourage one another, to show the love of Jesus to one another. And here's the thing, you always want to be growing. You know, your body wants to be growing and expanding. And we want, if you're here and you're new, we want you here. And I think we fall short on connecting with people and showing that love to people. And I just encourage you. If the church, and I don't think it will by any means, if a church falls apart when any leader leaves, then that church is built on the wrong foundation or it has the wrong intentions. And I just go, you hold the body together. Christ holds the body together, but God's spirit in you, I want you to look around and see who's here and who's not here and care enough to go, that's my family. And I know most of you feel that way in here, and I know we get labeled as a cult and all that crap, and I couldn't care less. But I just go, I don't want to be a part of an organization. I don't want to be a part of a place where I just go to church, hear some preaching, see people I don't really know and going about my life. You're my family. I guess that's why it's very difficult. I stayed away, me and her both, most of the night last night. And like, this is not easy, you know, thinking about leaving. And I just go, when I tell you I love you, I love you, and I want everybody to, we should love one another. You understand what I'm saying? The Lord said, by this all men will know you're my disciples, that you have loved one for another. So I encourage you, if you're here and you're not reaching out to people, get out of the us for and no more mentality and start reaching out to people, because God wants us to grow and to show the love of Christ to people around us. So that's my 2 cents. Psalm chapter 1, we're going to talk about walking, growing, and going. Psalm chapter 1. Also, I didn't have time this morning to give her the scripture, so I want you to put your marker on Joshua chapter 1. Really want you to look at Proverbs chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 17. Joshua 1, Proverbs 4, Genesis chapter 17. In my Bible, I'm not sure because I hadn't turned there yet. I got big letter Bibles, so I got about 10,000 extra pages. All right, Psalm chapter 1 is on page 748. So I mentioned it last Sunday, and I want to talk about it a little bit today. It's something I've been studying myself and something that's moving me. You know, in our culture, as we age, our culture, let me start off by saying this. God doesn't go by, did I lose my batteries? Lose my sound? God doesn't go by culture. Okay, he doesn't adapt to the culture. His word doesn't adapt to the culture. The culture, God's people come out of the culture because we live in a kingdom. We're a kingdom people. God's kingdom. Remember what Jesus, when he was given the model prayer, when he said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And God establishes his kingdom on earth through his people, through his churches. And in that, God calls us to live by kingdom living. We live by the word of God. We live by the philosophies, the truth, the principles.
The Bible's not just a book of rules, it's a way that we live, kingdom living, that leads to life. But in a culture, the culture is very
opposite of what God's Word teaches. And I want to talk to us old folk this morning. Anybody that's over, if you're over 35, you're heading for old. Okay? That's a culture, that's a culture. You know, the Lord's Word says, outwardly, the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. I never grow old, never grow old. So in our culture, as we age, we're told that we should be slowing down and taking it easy and living safe, and that our better days are behind us, and it's not going to get no better. I've heard people tell me that in the last month, and I've actually, ain't it funny how you take something on? When you hear, you got to be very careful what you listen to and what you believe, because you become those. As a man, believe is so easy. And so in that, when you hear those things, and you hear it enough from people to go, man, you're getting old now, you ought to be slowing down, you ought to be taking it easy, you ought to be thinking about retirement. And retirement goes beyond just retiring from a job. We take on an attitude of retirement. And that transcends into our service to the Lord and everything else. And so, and here's what I mean. You're like, well, I'm going to retire when I'm 25. I don't have a problem making enough money. You quit, you don't physically work no more, but you should never retire from your service to the Lord. And so in that, I do want to say this. It's a dangerous thing when you get to 53 and you start thinking, well, my better days are behind me. It's actually depressing. And sometimes we take on that thought and think, well, and I believe even in your whole thought process that you can take on that attitude and you can keep telling. I tell myself all the time, man, I'm old and getting old and I'm feeling bad. And all of a sudden I wake up and I'm feeling worse. I'm like, what is going on? And I believe a lot of it is just the attitude that you take on about life, and that the devil's lied to so many people for so long. When you believe that, you begin to live that out and respond to it. And if you tell yourself you're getting old, next thing you know, you stop doing what you would be doing to make sure you're not getting old, both spiritually and physically. And so in that, it's a lie that causes us to live sitting. And to be satisfied, being okay with sitting, or I like to use the word withering away. You know, God's called us to walk and to grow and to go. Those are the three things we see a theme through the Bible. We're to walk, we're to grow, we're to go. And there's no age limit on that. I want you to think about this. The scariest place, read this, the scariest place to be is the same place that you were at this time last year. You know, thinking about it, every year I preach about in the first of the year, and I challenge and try to kind of open your eyes to look forward to a year. And I love adventure. I encourage you to look forward this year and go, I want to have some adventure in my life. I want to do something, not just physically. I love physical adventure, but living for Jesus, if you're doing it right, it should be an adventure. Should put you into places where you're like, ooh, I don't know if this is going to work or not, or if it's going to happen, you know. Whereas I think there's a lot of retired Christians who go, I never feel that unction in me. I never feel a stirring in me. I'm never in a place as far as my walk or my service to the Lord where I'm like out on the edge. I'm like, man, you need to wake up and come out of retirement and start walking with the Lord, because he's going to always put us in a place to where, you know, we have that. That's what faith does. Faith leads us into areas that we don't have control. Faith leaves our lives in areas where we can't see what the next step is going to bring, to where we have to, you know, walk with the Lord and trust in God. And I'll be honest with you, through this whole process of praying about should I stay or should I go, praying in that and not being able to see, you know, what the next step is or what God's going to do, you know, I finally came to a place where I went, you know what, God, I can't cause anything. I can't go into tomorrow. I can't make anything happen. And here's where I'm at. Either you're God and you are who you are, say you are, or you're not. And I was sharing with the guys because, and you know, if God has somebody different to lead this church, I'm good with that. I'm really good with that. You know, and if God wants me to stay, I'm good with whatever God wants. That's all I want. But this is what I say. The church does not need to seek who they want or figure out how you can make something happen. Because here's the thing. If this is the Lord's church, then it's his church. And if it's the Lord's church, he has a man that he wants in a leadership role, and he will place that man in that leadership role if the church will seek him. But what we want to do is, and that's called, you know what? If it's your church, God, I guess you better work this out. You know, if you're God, then you're God. And if you're not, let's shut the doors and go fishing. And I believe God brings us to a place in our life because we always talk about faith. But if I asked you, are you in the same place this year as you were last year? I'm not talking about your problems and drama and all that junk that goes on in life. I'm talking about in your walk with the Lord, walking by faith, stepping out of the boat. Are you in the same place now as you were a year ago? Well, I know a whole lot more about the Bible, and I'm going to church. That's not what I'm talking about. Is the Lord's Spirit leading you in life to where you go, I have grown, and I am going far differently than what I looked a year ago? Let me ask you this question without anybody answering it. Does anybody remember what I challenged you with last year on the first? I challenged you with winning one person. Last year, my message on the first year was, if everyone here would just win one person to Christ, bring them into the church, all this is biblical, baptize them and disciple one person, we would go from 200 to 400 in 1 year. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have that person sitting here with you today? I can tell most of us don't because we didn't go to 400. And I just look and go, I've challenged you. If you want to know the truth, I've challenged you the last 3 years. How many people sitting here have at least one person in 3 years that you've won to the Lord and you're discipling? And if you don't, then we need to deal with that. Because that's what God's got us here for. That's what God's got you here for. Why do you need more biblical knowledge? Well, because I got all these problems in my life and I need to get it all fixed. Well, obviously I ain't fixing it because you had problems for the last 5-10 years. And that's not the whole point. The whole point is that the devil can always stir problems in your life to keep you from making disciples. He'll just keep stirring problems. But when you come to the place to go, you know what, I'm going to forget about the problems and I'm going to go to war and I'm going to start winning people to Jesus and I'm going to start walking by faith and I'm going to step out of the cultural thought process and guidelines and I'm going to take on a biblical role in my life, then all of a sudden we'll figure out that God is who he says he is, because he said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, he'll take care of everything else. Right. And so in that today, I want to challenge you to stop listening to bad counsel and living by worldly thinking and start living by God's word and stepping in faith and going, all right, I need to see the Lord. Because sure, there's got to be a lot of people sitting here who you can't just live off of other people's faith. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Maybe I'm just built this way, and I know my wife's built this way, and that's why God put us together. It's like, I can't live by the status quo. If somebody went, you know, well, we'll offer you a security and a little place, and you got a great job and retirement, you can just enjoy, and you can go, and you can do, and you can preach to the people and all that. I'm like, I don't care nothing about that. I want to see the Lord. I want to see the Lord. I'm going to spend my whole life talking about him, spend my whole life trusting in him. My whole eternity is banking on him. Then I want to see him. And I want to know him. And I want to know what the, I don't want to live by the American philosophy of, well, da 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 da. I want to be labeled. I want to go, you know, Some people want to live in a boat and they're good with bouncing on the water. I'm like, I want to walk on the water. Even if I sink, I want to walk on the water. I want to see the Lord. Are y'all with me? So in that, starting in Psalm chapter 1, I want you to see where it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't walk the way the world tells me to walk. I don't take the world's philosophy. I don't live by a worldly guidelines, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, do you notice the gradual transition of his position there as you start to walk in the way of the ungodly? Next thing you know, what are you doing? You're standing, and then you're just sitting, retired. Spiritually retired, and you've taken on an attitude of scorn. There's a lot of people sitting in the church today because they profess Christianity but live by the world's standards rather than taking on a biblical perspective and walking according to the scripture and living my life out how the Bible teaches. There's a lot of people who scorn those people who do. Oh, they just are this, and they're you know, that's them weirdos, and they're the blah, 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 and they're the blah, blah. And I just want to say this. I hope it goes out as far as it can go out, and I might even post something on Facebook this week. Because I'm so tired of listening to people call us a cult. And I'm a cult leader, and all this stuff. And here's what I want to say to anybody. I'll challenge anybody on the face of God's green earth who go, oh, people are just weird and they're a cult and this and that. Please, by all means, be biblical, number one. Because the Bible says if you have an issue with somebody and you care about them, you go to them. So if you care enough to run your mouth about me or us, then care enough to bring a Bible and go, you know what, this is why you're a cult. I have not had one, not one pastor, not one person, not one church member, not one whatever you call them, citizen of this area, not stinking one come to me and go, I'm concerned about your church because you're acting like a cult. Not one. So if you ain't got the gump to come, then shut the trap. That's right. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. Because I go, because you know what? You're not going to bring the Bible and show us anywhere where we're outside of the guidelines of the Bible whatsoever. You're not going to. And if you do, we will bow to the scripture. And I say that in love, but I just go, I'm tired of all the yapping. And I'll say this in love to y'all. If any of y'all want to know what's going on with me and mine, we have no secrets. Everybody here that's been here for a little bit know that. Ain't got no secrets. So rather than going around talking to everybody else and trying to figure out what's going on, all you got to do is say, hey, brother, I want to meet with you. Oh, great. I'll tell you everything that's going on that I know of with me and with my wife and with the church. If you want to look at my finances and my IRS statements or whatever, I don't care. I have nothing to hide. You know, and so I just go, you don't have to get secondhand information. Come look at the horse in the mouth. Amen. All right. So this man's life, think about this. This man's life is withering. Why? Because he goes from walking to sitting. And there's a lot of people whose lives, because you believe what the world says, your life is withering. Your spiritual walk is withering. And even physically. Maybe your marriage is withering, your family is withering, your hopes and dreams are withering because you look at yourself and go, I've been doing this for a while now, and my better days might be behind me. And I just want to ask you this. So are you good with your income withering? How many of you, when you've been in working for a company and I've been there for 20 years and I'm making way less than what I was when I started. I don't hear people doing that and going, but I'm okay with it. Because that's just life. That's just the way it goes. You would lose your mind. So why are you okay with it with a church? Why are so many churches withering away? What happens with something withering? It means it's just about to die. And there's so many churches withering away, and they're okay with it. They justify it by every means. And they blame it on everything rather than looking at the scripture going, we shouldn't be withering. We should be flourishing. As God's people, we should be flourishing. Are you hearing me, Brother Don? You guys have a hope this morning, brother, all right? And so in that, here's my thing. Things wither right before they die, and God, you can't show me anywhere in the scripture where God ever says, other than to yourself, that it's His will for you to die or to wither away. You can't show me anywhere, all these churches who go, well, it's just the way in this, and it's just the way in this. I'm like, can you show me in the scripture where the Spirit of the Lord is in His people and there's withering and death? Not there. It's not there. It's always growth. It's always life. It's always expansion. And here's the thing, verse 2 and 3, this is a kingdom-minded man. He said he doesn't walk in the way or stand in the way or sit, but his delight is in the law of God. It's in the Word of God. In His law, notice this, he meditates day and night. That's one of them cult leaders. Taking the Word of God. We're talking about reading the Bible every day. Anytime you get around him, it's a Bible thumper. He just talks the Bible. She just talks about the Bible. And you know, and here's the thing. They don't keep it in the church. On Sunday, they're going out and talking about Jesus out in public. And they're praying with people, you know, outside the church. And we actually walked in. It made me feel uncomfortable. We walked in that church the other day, and there was two people standing there praying. Just while nothing, you know, the preacher wasn't up standing and praying. I'm like, if that's what you call church, is when you feel uncomfortable, unless it's ceremonial prayer and everything's nice, neat, and organized and suit and tied up and all that stuff, you can have that junk. Because this man is in God's Word, and God's Word is in him day and night, day and night. Things wither because they don't have no continual source of nourishment. What happens to our health? We put the wrong nourishment. Amen? Sometimes we sit down and we eat pancakes with extra syrup and all that stuff that I was crucified this morning over eating. Not by my wife. Sometimes our body withers away because of the source of nourishment. Sometimes our marriage withers away because there's no continual source of nourishment. Can't you get comfortable after you've been married 35, 40 years? 15, 20 years, we're like, I know her, she knows me. You know, if anything changes, we'll let her know. You stop doing what you used to do. You don't continue to nourish it. You know what happens in any relationship like that? It withers. Begins to wither. Ministry withers. Friendship withers. Spiritual fire withers. This man's delight is in the law of God. He meditates on it day and night. I want you to look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. All this man's doing in the book of Psalms is he's already read Joshua chapter 1 and he's applying it in his life. Joshua chapter 1, look in verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. If you're one of those people, you speak God's word, don't let people make you feel weird, especially God's people. Oh, man, so all you do is talk about the Bible. Amen. That's a blessing. I'd like to be around more people like that. There's a time and place for the Bible. Yeah, 24-7. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it when? Day and night. It means God's words are thoughts in my mind. It's not the only thing you think about. But you know what? You think about it. You think about what you've read. You think about what you study. You think about what you heard. You think about how you should respond. You should think about the direction you want to go in life, the decision you make. You always go, what does God's word say? What does God's word say? Like food. You just chew on it. You know, you chew on it. You meditate on it. You think about what you've heard and what you've read. He does this day and night that you may observe. Why does he do this? That you may observe to implement in my life according to all that is written in it. What's the promise that follows with this? For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. Doesn't say you'll wither away. It says you'll prosper. That word prosper means you will advance. Prospering doesn't always focus around money. It focuses around everything in life. If I want to advance in any area of my life and I want to move forward and I want to overcome, that's what the word prosper means. That means that if I live by God's word, I walk in it, I meditate on it, it becomes who I am. It navigates every decision I make in my life. Then my ways will be prosperous and I will have good success. That means I'm going to be walking and growing and going. And then back in the book of Psalm, chapter 1, says he meditates day and night. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Notice what it says, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. It's not just whatever he does in ministry, whatever he does in the church, whatever. How many of you have an area in your life where you go, I want this area in my life to advance. I want it to prosper. I want it. Then right here tells us if we'll do what God's word says and we have a continual source of nourishment, when it's talking about that tree planted by the rivers of water, anywhere you look in the scripture, the rivers of water is a reference to God's word and God's spirit. Remember what Jesus said, look for those who worship him in spirit and in truth. God's word, God's spirit. All the way through the Bible, Old Testament pictures, God's words, God's spirit. If I keep my life in a place where I'm abiding in Christ, his word abides in me, I'm led by not my emotions, my feelings, all these things, but I'm led by God's word. I know what the truth is, God's spirit, and I'm walking in that way. My leaf will never wither, and whatever I do, I'm going to prosper. Whatever I do, I'm going to prosper. And God's going to get the glory in that. Why? Because God's word and God's spirit is a source of life, a source of hope. It's our power. It's wisdom, direction, discernment, faith, confidence, and all of these things. And whatever I do is going to prosper. That means I'm going to advance forward in that. Now, here's where I'm at with us old folks. Our greatest days are ahead of us when we walk with Jesus. Our greatest days are ahead of us. Think about this. In Genesis, or let me look in, while you're there, look in Proverbs chapter 4. I want you to get this principle here. Underline this in your Bible. Meditate on this one thing day and night. Let God's Spirit speak to your heart where it applies in your life, because it really, God spoke to me. I was reading and studying the book of Proverbs and writing notes in my Bible, and just, boom, man, this scripture really stood out to me. 4:18, notice what it says. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto a perfect day. Brighter, brighter, brighter. That's what our walk with the Lord should look like. It shouldn't look like, I talked about last week over Matthew 13, where it says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of seeds. But when it's planted and it grows into one of the greatest of herbs or greatest of trees, and the birds of the air are coming or the fowls of the air come and lodge in it. And I go, when you look at the Bible, it doesn't start off as a, whoo, I had a big experience, and all of a sudden everything else in my spiritual life just kind of went downhill until I got to the place where I'm sitting comfortably in a church service going, you know, I used to have that. If your life is in a place where you always look back, if I was to ask you, do you remember when's the greatest walk that you had with the Lord, where you experienced God, where you're seeing God in your life, where God was using you, where you saw his glory in your life, we should really be able to say, today. Today is that day. But most of us, if we're not careful, because we bought into the cultural church mentality, we always look back. What did Jesus say about that? He that puts his hand to the plow looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Because you don't understand the principle of the kingdom. And what I'm saying is, if we have to look back, go, oh man, I remember. That means it's not present. Back then, I used to have a fire. We see somebody go, I used to have a fire like that. The Bible says that fire should be brighter and brighter and brighter. You want to know why? Because you're not sitting. You're walking. You're walking with the Lord, not sitting. Looking back, reminiscing. There's a lot of people in church who just sit back and then reminisce about the good old days. So I don't care nothing about the good old days. They're gone. It's over. What I want to look forward to the days that I have ahead of me, where I'm going to experience God in a greater way than I did yesterday. And if I'm growing, you know how many kids look back when they get 17, 18 and go, man, I remember when I was 3. It was so good. Your mom just carried me everywhere. You remember when mom used to, I didn't even have to go to the restroom. She just changed my diaper. But we do it in the church. You know, man, I can just remember back when I first got saved. It was so wonderful. The preacher just changed our diapers. Ain't that crazy? And we look back in the days of the nursery, I'm like, I kind of had a whole lot of fun. I was 17, 18. I've had a whole lot more fun. I was 20, 21, 25, 30. I'm going to have a whole lot more fun when I'm 53, 55, and the Lord allows 60, 70. Those are not days I'm dreading. I'm going to be honest with you. You're like, well, you don't feel like you used to. I don't. And that's okay, because I'm going to intensify my living, and I'm going to war against that. But listen to me, spiritually, I got a great outlook ahead. I have a great expectation ahead. Let me finish up. Genesis chapter 17. I want you to think about this. Genesis chapter 17, God gives us an example in verse 1 through 6. If you have your Bible, underline the first few words right here. When Abraham was what? 99 years old. Now you can say, well, people in the Bible lived a whole lot longer. I think Abraham lived like 130, 140. So we could bump a little bit off if we want to adjust it to our days ago when Abraham was 75. Actually, God didn't even call Abraham out of Ur until he was 75. But I want you to get this. God did his greatest work, his greatest miracle in Abraham spiritually and physically when he was 99 and Sarah was 89. Some of y'all old folks ought to at least grunt on that. The young people ain't got nothing on us. Here's the thing. We've got over the younger people. I'm not just talking about age, but just younger believers. We've done walked there. We've done seen God in ways they hadn't even seen him yet. And we ought to be walking and building on that so that they see God in us. You know, one of the things that my wife and I have talked about in the last little while and praying the decision making is, I don't want to die just comfortable. I don't care nothing about living and dying comfortable. We just enjoy struggling. I kind of believe that, you know, God doesn't always make you struggle. I think he can do better than the world can do. And I just go, when I stand before the Lord, if I really believe the Bible, why in the world would I stand before it and give this account? You know, Lord, I remember, man, when you first called me to preach. Whoo! I was excited. I was on fire. I believed you, God, you was going to do something great. And I just, man, I was trying to turn the world upside down. And, you know, Lord, after that, I just kind of got older. And I kind of got spiritually tired. And you know, I got comfortable. And I let the younger dudes do that. You know, I let the new guns do that. And I just had my church. And we just all loved each other. And we just huddled up. And we, they all, most of them here, there's a couple of them didn't make it. But you know, we was all just happy, and we got together, and we did our thing on Sunday, Lord, and I had a retirement, and I lived my life peaceably, and here I am. Wouldn't you rather get there and you like smoke coming off your head and be like, "Woo, man, that was a ride right there," you know? Wow, Lord, I didn't know it was gonna. Not talking about make it to heaven. I didn't know what that was gonna turn out to be like, and da da da. But you know what? People are still talking about it. People still talking about you. People saw you. They saw your glory. When you want to hear the Lord go, you know what? You just about got carried away. You got a little bit carried away. You didn't look like everybody else around you. And maybe you didn't have what everybody else had. And maybe you had to pray a whole lot more. And maybe you had to miss a few things that the world had. But let me show you what I've got for you now. And I believe God blesses us along the way while we're here. If you want to know the truth, that's just me. But I want you to notice what it says here about Abraham. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "I am Almighty God." That's the whole point. It wasn't about who Abraham was, how old he was. He said, "I'm Almighty God." Now notice what he says. Walk before me. He doesn't say sit before me. Kick back and resign and retire before me. Walk before me and be blameless. Now notice what he says. 99 years old. I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will what? Multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall they call your name Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham," which means the father of multitudes. "For I have made you the father of many nations, and I will also, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful." You see these words God's using? Not just a little bit. I'm not gonna give you the bare minimum. I'm not going to make you scrape by because you decided to serve me. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to make this area of your life exceedingly good. You're not just going to wither away. I don't want you to start like a spark and end with a smoke. I just want you to walk with me, and I'm going to increase what I'm doing in your life on a daily basis. And you know what? You might look back when you're 75 and you had a great experience, but you ain't seen nothing yet when you're 99. And so in that, you know, here's the thing. God hadn't called us to stop, sit, and die. He did his greatest work there when he was 99. You remember this? I'll finish with this. You remember in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus walked into the synagogue on a Sabbath with his disciples. And it said there was a man there with a withered hand. Withered hand. They don't give us details about that man, but if you'll just allow me to think, I go, I wonder why that dude's hand was withered. Was it because he had a sickness in his life? Most likely it was probably because of some kind of injury in his life. And because of that injury or because of that incident, now his hand was withered. Here's the bad part about that. He had accepted it. He's okay with it. He had learned to adjust to it. And it was just withering away. Everybody else knew it was withered. You know what? He just stepped back in the shadows. He knew he probably didn't need to expose that around all these great religious people. But you know what Jesus did? He walked in and the first thing he saw was the man's withered hand. He's like, I didn't create you like that. There's a lot of people here today that I think that there's areas of your life that's withered. Withered. Think about this. Maybe because of an injury. Somebody in the church hurt. Somebody in the church did this to me. And that's why my spirit and my excitement for the Lord is just withered. I'm like, and you're okay with that. You've accepted that. That's why I'm living. That's why, you know why? I used to serve the Lord and these people this and this incident that and da da da. And I'm just my heart's just all withered up. Nobody cares. Or my husband this, and he didn't respond, and he forgot, or she this, or she that, and now my soul's just withered, and both of you are just okay with that. You're okay that your marriage is not exciting. You're okay that you don't go after adventure. You're okay you don't take chances anymore. You're okay that you just come in and sit on the couch and watch some stupid TV, and you call that life. That's what everybody else does, isn't it? And you're okay with it. You know what? When Jesus looks at you, he goes, I didn't create you for this. I didn't create you for this. And I hope somebody hears this morning. Go back and read that story. You know what Jesus said? Nobody else in the room wanted to deal with the withered hand. Everybody there knew Jesus couldn't ignore it. He can't ignore it. And if there's an error in your life, and maybe there's a time in your life where you sinned or something like that, and you just feel like, oh, I can't be who I used to be. And you keep looking back, and the Lord's like, he shows up, and everybody else is waiting. And you know the story. I love the story. You know what Jesus said? He looked at that man and said, stretch forth your hand. Stretch forth your hand. Just reach that area of your life out to the Lord. Should be honest, you gotta go, God, I got some withering in me. Or maybe my relationship with this person is withered, or maybe this friendship is withered, or maybe my service to the Lord is withered, or maybe my worship is withered, or maybe my walk is withered because I've been sitting, or maybe somebody said or did something to me and I'm just withered. God's like, stretch forth your hand, stretch this out to me. And said, and immediately his hand was fully restored. There's times in our life where we got to go, it ain't about what anybody else can do to fix me. It's about Jesus and what he has for you. You can sit here and you can let your life shrivel up and wither away and die and call it good. But I just go, I hope this shakes you to the point to go, I don't have to take that. I don't have to take getting old. You know, honestly, y'all know I ain't no big workout person. But you know what I did when I started reading this? I'm done just getting out of shape. I'm done eating sorry and going, hey, just get old and die and you're going to have problems. You're going to go to the hospital. Maybe not. That's right. Maybe not. Yeah. You know what? Maybe when I'm 80 years old, if God so happens, maybe I'm going to be like, dude, I went up the mountain the other day, shot a stinking elk, packed it out by myself. Come on. God can do those things. But if you take on the attitude of the world and go, I'm just getting old, so I'm going to eat bad, and I'm going to stop doing things, and I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to get arthritis everywhere where I shouldn't have it, and I'm just going to buy into taking all these pills and medicine and stuff, and hopefully that holds me together. I'm just looking forward to the day that I get old and rot and die. I'm like, I can't live like that. Nobody can live like that. You can die like that, but you can't live like that. God, if God has you here, listen to me. Let Abraham be an inspiration. God still has great things that he wants you to be a part of. And though our, like I said, and though our body, in reality, it starts to war against us a whole lot more than when we were 20 or 25. But listen to me. Well, the bigger the bully, the more that you practice. You got to step up your game, and you got to war against that and go, I'm going to war against it physically, and I'm going to war against it spiritually, and I've got things that God still wants to do, and I ain't bowing out. I ain't bowing out to what the devil says. I'm going to believe God's word, and I'm going to move forward. Faith is putting to action the things that God's word has promised. And I know this is not a salvation message, but I do say this. You know, Jesus came to give us life and to undo what sin has done. And your life begins with trusting, putting your faith in Jesus. So if you haven't done that, you need to do that today. God's offering you life and forgiveness and a new start today. But I love this story, and I'll do this, and I'll get you out of here. You remember Caleb? Remember when the children of Israel were going through the desert? Some of us old folk, listen to me this morning. When they were going through the desert and they got to the promised land, the first generation, they were going to cross over Jordan. The culture of the people said, we can't do it. We can't do it. There's giants over there, and we're like grasshoppers compared to them. That's a worldly mentality. Joshua and Caleb had a kingdom mentality. Their eyes were up on the Lord, and they said, oh, if the Lord said we can do it, we can do it. Now, they didn't cross over, and Joshua and Caleb had to do what? They had to walk with, because the world drug them down. Next 40 years, God brings them back up. They go into the land. Joshua leads the people to victory. When he gets in the land, at the end of the story of the book of Joshua, they're dividing up the nations, the areas there, the inheritance. And Joshua's in charge of that. And Caleb, he's an old man now. He's 80 years old. And he comes to, I love this story, he comes to Joshua. And he said, you know what the Lord spoke of me. That was the whole foundation of his hope. You know what the Lord said of me back in that day in Kadesh Barnea. He promised me this mountain. And I am stronger now at 80 than I was then at 40. Give me my mountain. Man, I love that. And I just go, God has spoken some things for you. And he has things you know. Caleb could have went, man, I'm old. I'm liable to fall over dead any day. So you know what? Let the youngsters see if they can get it. Caleb's like, no, tell the youngsters to get out of my way. Tell the youngsters to get out of my way. I don't need the youngsters helping me along. I have a promise from God, and I'm going to be the one that experiences that promise. So are you going to be the one that experiences that promise? Quit making excuses. Quit listening to the world's influence. Quit listening to the liar. Go into God's word and go, if God has this for me, then give me what he has. Will you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed? Lord, I love you, and I just thank you so much that you're a God of power, a God of life. I believe, God, you still do miracles. I believe you do miracles every day, Lord. I believe if we believe you enough, God, that you heal us. Lord, that you provide for us, that you have plans and purposes for us, God, that you enable us by your grace to do things that we could never do apart from you. And, Lord, I believe so many of us just settle. We settle for the other side of Jordan. We settle for what the world tells us, just to calm down, sit down, have a comfortable, secure, safe little life instead of going, God, I might think about living dangerous this year. Might actually do some of the things that your word challenges and calls on me to do. God, I just pray people in this room be stirred by your spirit, not by my preaching or my words. or by the illustrations, but God, by your Spirit, Lord, there's somebody in this room that's like, I just got to do something different so that they can be a vessel of glory, so that when other people who are too afraid or other people who are uninterested live that safe life, Lord, you use that person. God, use me. Use my family. Use this church. To where all the other people can look and go, surely the Lord is with them. And see Jesus and see the love and see the hope and the grace and the salvation that you bring. God, make us vessels of your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.